have for our God. I am so thankful for this congregation and for your continued dedication to the work and the ministry of this church. And 2018, we have some exciting ministries and plans for this congregation. And I know you're going to be a part of it as you have been in the past. And we want you to mark on your calendar January the 24th. That's a Wednesday night. We need every person to be here to hear our strategic plan as we seek to please God in year 2018. And so that whole week in beginning on Wednesday, all the way through that Sunday, is planned with some great activities, and we need you to mark that and be a part of that. I know we stood and greeted one another on last Lord's Day, and I don't like to do it every Lord's Day, but let's just greet one another for a minute this time, not two, but 1 minute this time, and then let's come back together, and then we'll sing. All right, let's do it.
Love to praise him. I love praise his name. I love to praise him. I love to praise
him. Everybody keep standing.
I love to praise him. I love to praise him. I love to praise his holy name. I love to praise him. I love to praise him. Oh, I love to praise him. To praise him,
I love to praise.
Well, I love to praise his holy name. For he's my rock,
he's my rock, my sword
and shield, and he's the wind.
He's the wind in the middle of the wind.
I know he'll never let me down.
He's just a joy.
Oh, that I have found. But sing hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I love to praise his name.
Lord, sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love. Lord, sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to praise his name, oh Lord, I love to praise his holy name.
It sounded so good that I almost said, let's don't even worry about a sermon, let's just sing the rest of that. Yeah, I mean, the songs, everything has just been so inspirational. Again, to our visitors, we really appreciate your presence. Amen. Know that you are an honored guest. There's a blue card in your vicinity. Please take that card, fill it out. That way we will have a record of your worship with us this morning, and that'll give us an opportunity to extend further fellowship with you. And so if you don't mind, fill that card out, and later in the service we will retrieve that card. But thank you for coming, being with us in our worship to God. On last Lord's Day, I emphasized to you from the Psalm 100 that the word make a joyful noise and then come before the Lord with singing, that those were synonymous in the sense that the joyful noise that the Lord is asking for is joyful singing. God wants us, and he gave us this instrument of voice to be able to speak, but also, just think about it, to sing. He's created his creation where communication, even among other creatures, is apparent. But some of the creatures even sing. This is one of God's blessings to us. And so when we come before him, he asks us to come with singing, but he wants us to come with joyful singing. And then when we serve him, and as we go through the acts of worship, and even on a daily basis, he wants us to serve him with gladness. And so the idea is that God wants us to be enthusiastic about him, to be joyful in where we are in our position with him and his position as it relates to him being creator and we being his creation. So we thank him and we do encourage enthusiasm. You know, it's easy for us to be enthused. I know I was when I went to the Dallas Cowboy game. I was really excited about going. I didn't worry about parking problems. I didn't worry about obnoxious people around me. I was very excited to get to the stadium and to be there. There, I was filled with excitement and expectation. Some people who go to the clubs, you know what that's about too. Amen. Anyway, those who go, all right, they go with a lot of expectation and a lot of joy. I'm so glad you laughed at that, because that was the intent. But it's designed to say to you that there are events in our lives where we do have what? Enthusiasm. And we do have what? Great expectation. And God is asking us, when you come before me, come with expectation. He is asking us to come with joy and come with gladness and enthusiasm, because he is worthy of that praise. Now, this morning, what I want to do is to further delve into the psalm, because we're going to be reciting this psalm. By the first quarter, you're going to know it by heart, because we're going to do it over and over. But in doing so, we want to have good understanding. What is he saying when he says, you know, for us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, you know, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. What is it that he's really asking? Well, what I want to do is extract from the psalm the phrase, all ye lands. And I want to speak to you from the point that worship is universal. The universality of worship. Because he says, what? All ye lands. So The call to praise is something that extends beyond the individual. It extends beyond your family. It extends beyond this congregation. The praise that God is looking for is universal, and it is to be given to him in all lands. Now, there's a reason that he wants and he expects universal praise, and that is because he is the creator of all lands and all the world. Listen to what Paul says in Acts 17:26. Acts 17:26. Listen to what Paul says to the Athenians. And had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from, watch this, every one of us. So as Paul directs our attention to the universality of all men, because all men are the products of one blood. We are the products or the offspring of one man. Now, whether you are Haitian, or whether you are an African, or whether you are a Norwegian, you need to understand that God has made all nations out of what? One blood. And so you don't have to be ashamed of being from any nation, because all nations come from a solitary creator. It does not matter about your complexion. It does not matter about your language, customs. God formed us all from the same person, and that is Adam. We're all coming from one. And so the Bible says, and this is what Paul says, for in him, that's in God, creator of all, we live, we move, we have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. So universal praise, universal worship. All I want you to see is that when you get up in the morning to come to worship, be as David was when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In other words, it's not just you. It's not just your family. Picture the whole world today is turning out to worship God, all lands and all nations. And you don't want to not be a part of the celebration of God on this day. And this is his day, the Lord's day. And so you and I need to see the universality of our worship. And then there's another passage that I want you to notice, because it's not only all lands, but all heaven is worshiping God. And Revelations 4:1-11 helps us to understand, as John the Revelator actually was able to see the throne of God. It was very difficult for him to really put it in words. And so he describes it in earthly terms, but it's beyond our ability to really know exactly what it was. But it was splendid. It was something that brought about splendor on the heart of John. And he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then look at verse number 8. And the Bible said, the four beasts had each of them six wings. Now that's speaking of angelic beings. These four beasts are different hierarchies of angelic beings. And they are also saying to God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. So even in heaven, God is seen as someone to be what? Praised, and someone to be worshipped. And all the angelic beings. And then there were 24 elders. These 24 elders. Notice 24. Why 24 elders? Is because, well, they represent both covenants. You have 12 patriarchs that made up the old covenant. And then you have 12 apostles who were the lawgivers of the New Testament. So what God is showing us from Revelation is that all covenants, listen to me, all covenants, old and new, have come together to worship God and to acknowledge that he is he who was, which is, and is to come. And listen to the last verse, verse number 11. Here's what they say. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Come on, say it with me. What? Glory and what? Honor and what? Power. Now, don't miss this. For thou hast what? Created how many things? All things. But watch this. And for what? And for whose pleasure? Not our pleasure, not your pleasure, but for God's pleasure, they are and were created. Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss what they are saying in heaven. Everyone in heaven who's worshiping God knows that everything that has breath, everything that's been created, everything that exists, it has been created and brought into being that God would be pleased, that God would be honored, that God would have glory. It's not about our glory. I was created, you were created for God's pleasure. Our problem comes when we start thinking selfishly and focusing on ourselves. Worship is not about you and not about me. It's about God. It's for his pleasure. So when I get up in the morning for worship service, I'm not getting up for my pleasure. I'm getting up for his pleasure. I may have a headache, but I'm on my way to worship. I may not have food on the table. Well, y'all know better than that. But anyway, amen, amen. All right. Yeah, no. But don't miss me now. Hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to show you that whatever status you are and whatever state you're in is not for our pleasure. I go to worship for God's pleasure and not my own pleasure. It's what pleases God. And if we ever get that in our mind and in our psychic, I believe that our worship, we'll get up in the morning and we won't have to be prodded to be here on time. Amen. Well, I don't want to fuss. All right, so let me go ahead and stick with point number two. Worship is what? Universal. We are worshiping God in where? All lands, all nationalities, all people are worshiping God on this day, or should be worshiping God on this day, the way I should say that. And I won't get into, the theological points at this point, but we will. But God is expecting, this is his day, and he expects the whole world to worship him on this day. And then, secondly, I want you to see something else. Verse number 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Notice this now. This particular part of this verse speaks to him as creator. He is the creator. Notice, it is he that hath what? Made what? Us. And what? Not what? We ourselves. Now, when you understand that you are totally dependent as a creation on the creator. That's why when Paul was addressing the Athenians, he was letting them know it's in God that we live. It's in God that we move. It's in God that we have our very being. Nothing on this earth functions unless God gives the amen. God is incomprehensible in our ability to know just really exactly who he is and all about him. He's too deep for us to even get a concept of him. But he does want you to know this, that I am so much God that you as a creation totally depended on me for your life and for everything that goes on. And so therefore, you come before me with singing and rejoicing because I am worthy of that. Now, but the second part of this verse, verse number 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, that part of the verse gives another connotation and really another meaning from this point. You see, everybody in creation is made by him, but everybody in the world are not his people. No, you missed. No, I think you got that. All right. When we come to worship, you understand that it is a redemptive. It's a redemptive worship. Well, Brother Gibbs, what do you mean by redemptive? In other words, something else has happened to our relationship, and now you have him and have us saying we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, in Deuteronomy 7, go and get that for me and put that on the screen. Deuteronomy 7, 5. When the Jews and the Jewish nation sang this song, and they said, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, this is what they had reference to, and this is the redemptive part of it. This is what Moses said to the children of Israel. But thus shall ye deal with them. He's talking about other nations and other people. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. Now watch this. For thou art, the reason that you should burn down their false worship is because they're not worshiping really the true God. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above what? Above what? All people that are where? Upon the what? The face of the earth. So he's making, there's a distinction between all people who have been created by God and those who have been chosen by God and who are his people. Now watch verse number 7. Watch this. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But watch verse number 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a what? Mighty hand, and watch the word, and did what? Redeemed you. Now I want to work with the word redeemed, because that word redeemed simply means that you have been purchased by God. You have been purchased by God. When God chose Israel, he purchased them as his own. And that's what made them his people. His people have a redemption, a redemptive relationship with him, where these people have been called out from among other people to be his people and the sheep of his pasture. And that's the beauty of it. All right? Now, what I want to do is to show you that even under the New Testament, you and I, this is where the fulfillment of everything under the old now comes into being. Get for me Galatians 4, and I want verse number 3. Galatians 4 and verse number 3. Now, this is the part where I'm not preaching. I'm doing the very best that I can to teach. And I want you to really see this, because when you recite the psalm, I want you to know why you're saying what you're saying, and I want you to be in touch with what you're saying. In Galatians 4 and verse number 3, watch what the Bible says. Even so we, when we were children, we were in what? Bondage under the what? The elements of the world. Now watch this. Verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. To redeem, there's our word, to redeem them that were where? Under the law. So Jesus Christ came into the world in order that he might purchase all those under the Old Testament law. Everybody under the law have been redeemed by Jesus. But watch this, that we, now what are you saying? Because this is Jews and Gentiles. He is now saying that the Gentiles are also adopted, that we might receive the adoption of son. Listen to me well. If Jesus had not come into the world, worship would have only been under Jewish law and Jewish covenant. But by Jesus coming into the world, he purchased the old covenant, brought in the new covenant, and now he pulls them all together under his authority. You can't worship God based on the old law. You got to worship God now based on the new covenant. If you're going to worship God, you can't go back to the law. You got to come under the law of Christ in order to worship God Almighty. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm preaching now. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, I know the Bible is right. You remember the woman came to him and said, should we worship at Jerusalem or at this mountain? You know, Jesus said the hour is coming that the true worshipers will have to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Oh, that was so good. Oh, that was so good to me. It ain't because I said it, because God said it. I'm telling you, God, let me finish this. I got happy. That we might receive the adoption of son. But watch verse number 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. There's some preaching right there, but let me move on. Wherefore, let me go back and get it. Can I go back? Let's go back and get it. Go back to verse number 5. Verse number 6. God sent forth his son, the spirit of his son, into your heart. Everybody here who is God's people have the Holy Spirit of God. This is what distinguishes us from other people. All people are not God's people, but all people who have the Spirit of God. We're sons of God. When we come into the house of God, we come as sons of God because we have the Spirit of God in our bodies. Verse number 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. Under the law they were servants, but a son. And if a son, then what? An heir of God through Christ. I want to deal with the word heir. I'm not just a son. I don't just have the Holy Spirit. You don't just have the Holy Spirit. You're not just a son of God or a child of God or a people of God. You are a people who are heirs. You are heirs of God. In other words, God has something for you later on when time shall be no more. God is going to bring you into an eternal fellowship. Why do I want to worship God? Why do I want to be called his people? I want to be called his people because I want to be an heir. I'm an heir of Almighty God. Everybody does not have this privilege. Those who give their lives to Christ. And so every Sunday morning you ought to get up with excitement in your blood, thanking God that I'm an heir through Jesus Christ. Well, verse number 8. Howbeit then ye, when ye what? Knew not God, ye did what? Service unto them which by nature are no gods. Well, he's going back to that old, he's really tying in with 1 Samuel. Well, not 1 Samuel, but Deuteronomy 7. But anyway. Let me move on. I got too happy. My blood went up to my head, and I'm going to have to get my head back. I'm serious about that. I got to come back down. and it's all because my excitement comes from knowing what God has done. And I have to be honest. There are some Sunday mornings you don't feel like it. Okay, but that's why I got to switch channels. I got to switch frequencies. Have you ever noticed that there's an AM frequency and a FM frequency? Sometimes you get up on AM, and the thing about it is that you don't have to stay on AM. Flip the switch. Pew. FM. How do you move from AM to PM? I mean, AM to FM. You got to do what? Come on now. Just what? So, y'all fussed all the way here to service? Y'all want AM? When you hit that door, you're going to hit what? Nah, we ain't going in with no AM. Nah, we going in on FM today, all right? And really true, we got the ability to do that. We do. So, in closing, we need to be enthusiastic about our worship. This, as Brother Myers preached last Sunday night, is a celebration. It's a celebration. Celebrating who God is. And then he shared with us that it's participation, where we have to come together. And then the last point that he made was edification. You got to know God. You got to know who God is. And what I'm saying to us this morning is, be enthusiastic about your worship. Number two, understand the universality of it. It's not just about us. It's about a whole lot of people who are his people all over the world. People in Africa, in Europe, in Canada. Well, I moved from the continents to the countries. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'd do better by staying with the continents, because once I get into the countries, I'd be here all day. But the point that I'm making is that God wants... It's almost like those astronauts up in space, you know, from their position, they see a lot of things that's going on in the world, and they see lights everywhere. And I just believe that God wants to see worship light up everywhere on Sunday morning. And then the angels look down and say, wow, they worshiping. And then when we come, let's understand the special relationship that we have. He is our God, and we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And that's the beautiful thing. And so I end with this. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? Praise. And be what? Thankful unto him. And do what? And bless his name. Here's the way the Hebrew writer says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I end by saying, Are you really his son, daughter? If so, then you have made a covenant with him. You have come into a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. If you have not, you're not his child. You can recite the psalm, but it ain't true for you. You can't bless his name unless you do it through Christ. Are you going to go through 2018 separated from God? Now, he's blessed you to come so far. Do you think that's because of your goodness or because of his? I think it's because of his. So let's give him honor. If you're not a child of God, I'm asking you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm praying that you would see how God brought forth redemption through him, that he might bear your sins, our sins, the sins of the world, pay the penalty for them, redeem us by his blood, allowing us to become children of God, cleansed from all of our past through him. And I want you to believe that because he died on a Friday, but early on the first day of the week, he came forward. You believe that you serve a risen Christ. And then after you believe that, then repent. Repentance is a change of heart. I'm no longer going to walk according to the way I feel and what I think and everything revolving around me. No, I'm going to make God the center of, and Christ the center, and the Holy Spirit the center of my life. And I'm going to do what God has asked. And therefore, I'm going to repent. Jesus says, except you repent, you're going to perish. So you got to repent because you don't want to perish. And then you're going to have to confess him. I mean, you're going to have to just say with your mouth. Be honest. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Christ. I do believe he is the Son of God. I believe it. And he said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. He said, but if you deny me, if you're ashamed of me, he said, I'll be ashamed of you when you come before my Father. So I'm begging and I'm pleading in 2018, confess the Lord. And then be willing to go down with him in the water of grave of baptism. I know it just seems inconsequential, going down in water. Well, I'm not the one who said to be baptized. Amen. It was Jesus who said to be baptized. And in as much as he made it essential, then it's not to be put off. It is not to be taken lightly. He asked to meet you in watery grave of baptism. Baptism actually mimics his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's a burial. It's a resurrection. And when you go down in the water, what you're doing is you're dying to yourself and you're being raised to walk in newness of life and to walk according to Christ. What a blessing. What a golden opportunity. Don't let 2018 go any further without you giving your life to Christ. We're begging every person become one of his. If you strayed from him, you rededicate your life. Come on, get back where you need to be. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, in the blood. Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. All your garments spotless are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?